So this year, we are going to be in the book of Proverbs. And every year, I ask the Lord, where do you want us to study in this, your word, in your book? And this year, he really laid it on my heart for Proverbs and the wisdom that is in this book of Proverbs. A proverb is a pithy. I like that word, pithy, because you never hear anyone use that word, pithy. It sounds British, doesn't it? Pithy. But pithy is a concise, to-the-point statement. So that's what a proverb is. It summarizes something in a few choice words of these practical truths or some aspect to our everyday life. So almost every nation or people group around the world has their own proverbs. And I didn't take the time to look up to give you any examples of that because I don't care what their proverbs are. But they're out there, you know, Confucius and all those other people that have their own little proverbs. The book of Proverbs is far more than just a clever little statement. It is part of God's word. Inspired by him, breathed by him, written by him. And Proverbs is a book with a wealth of wisdom in it. And I am very excited to be studying this book and reading it through this coming year, our year from September to the end of April. In it, we see God's wisdom and we learn not only knowledge, but learn how to apply knowledge and therefore gain the wisdom in those daily decisions of our lives. We're making decisions all the time. We want to make wise decisions. And what better way to do that than to study the book of Proverbs and gain that godly wisdom? This book is meant to be read slowly, not just speed reading through it. Of course, none of the Bible is meant to speed read, but you know what I'm saying with Proverbs, because in every chapter, there are almost every verse is it a proverb. And so to absorb it, we have to read it slowly and then thoughtfully and read it over and over and over again. Proverbs gives practical instruction for about 100 different topics that pertain to our lives. I mean, that's amazing. One book in the Bible, we can gain instruction, knowledge, and wisdom for over 100 things that pertain to our lives. So the more knowledge we gain from this book that we apply, then the more wisdom we will gain. And to be a wise person, don't you want to be a wise person? I want to be a wise person. But you might say, well, I don't have much education. I don't really have that wisdom. Well, a person's IQ or education has very little to do with being a wise person. There are a lot of brilliant people, intellectuals, people with, like, for real, high IQ people who do not have any wisdom whatsoever. They have a lot of knowledge. They can memorize. They can, you know, pick something apart and tell you about it, but they don't have wisdom. Not all of them, but a lot of them. They don't have wisdom because that's not hand in hand necessarily. Some of these brilliant people can't manage their own lives. They can't make a wise decision. You look at them and their lives are a train wreck. They're making poor decision after poor decision and they're just lacking wisdom. The Bible says in Psalm 14:1 that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So a lot of very wise, or not wise, there are a lot of very intellectual people have died as fools because they are so smart, they don't believe in God. So that's a very foolish person. It is a wise person who believes in God. It's a wise person who obeys and walks with the Lord. That's wisdom. So this year, we will be studying several different topics. There's over 100. There's no way we're going to study that many. But we've pulled out the ones we think the Lord wants us to learn and talk about and dig into and get into our hearts and apply to our lives so that we then, you know, can gain this knowledge and learn how to apply it. Because, again, just gaining the knowledge and not applying it, that's unwise. So we want to be wise and apply that knowledge that we gain. And therefore, when we're finished, we're all going to be wiser people. I want to be a wise person. I've made enough stupid decisions in my life. I want to be a wise person. So what is wisdom? Well, the dictionary defines wisdom as the soundness of an action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. It's the ability to think and act using knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. And as we all know, common sense is very uncommon. It's getting more and more uncommon now because people are thinking they're so smart, they don't apply, they don't believe in God's word, and they certainly don't apply it to their lives. Spurgeon put it simply. He said, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. That's what wisdom is taking that knowledge and putting it to the right use. Knowledge rightly, correctly, the way that God would use it applied to our lives. That's wisdom, and that's a wise person. And you don't learn that in school. You learn that by studying the Bible. You learn that by obeying and walking with the Lord and going through a lot of real hard things. So if you have your Bible, let's open to Proverbs chapter 1 if you haven't done that yet. And I want to read a couple of different sections. And I was going to read it in the New Living Translation, but I forgot to bring my New Living Translation Bible, so forget that one. I will be reading it in the New King James, okay? The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a wise man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Jump over to verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning. The fools hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. Because I have called you and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, wisdom says, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Proverbs contrasts a lot. So here wisdom was speaking out and saying, it is foolish to not listen to me. There's going to come a day where you're going to cry out for me, and I'm not going to be there. I am not going to hear. So listen now. Turn to me and listen to the wisdom. We attend school and college, and we take classes to gain knowledge and to be instructed. We search encyclopedias, or I should say we used to search encyclopedias when encyclopedia sets were in every home. Now, if you're young, you're saying, what is an encyclopedia? I've never heard of that before. Some people still go to libraries, and most people maybe now get on the internet or they ask Siri if they need to know something and gain some kind of knowledge or information. All of those things are very good, and they are very, very needed, obviously. And they stimulate our minds when we're learning new things. But they teach us knowledge and not necessarily wisdom. However, we do need the knowledge to rightly apply it to make wisdom. So you've got to have that knowledge in there. But on a practical note, in gaining knowledge, because it is very important, I want to encourage you, and I know people used to do this more and they don't do it as much, but read. Read good books. I know adults who have never read a book. They can read, obviously, but they are just not good readers. They're not interested. I used to hate reading. It just was something I didn't enjoy. But I forced myself to start reading. And now I read and I read and I read and read. I don't read like a whole ton of books all the time, but I'm constantly reading. Reading, one good thing that it does, it allows us to spend time with smart people who are writing about things that are interesting, that are, and especially if they are Christian books, if they are about the Lord. Biographies are great to read about somebody's life, even if it's a tragic life, or if it's a missionary's life, or if it's a king or a queen or whoever it might be, because you're gaining knowledge, you're being exposed to all kinds of things, you're gaining wisdom from it, whether you realize it or not, because you think, okay, now that was really a dumb move. If they would have done this, maybe history could have been changed, or, you know, all that. It's just so stimulating and important just to get out there and read. Read, read. There's a lot of readers in here, and you can ask in your groups, hey, give me a good book. What good biography should I read that will help me in this way? Also, research a topic. Homeschool moms do all this, but I don't know if we do this anymore. Research a topic or something that interests you. A while ago, this is kind of a stupid thing or a silly thing, but I thought, why did I think this? I don't know. You know, I don't know anything about cheese. You know, I eat cheese, but you know, you look at all this cheese, like, how there's so many cheeses. How can there be so many cheeses? So I went to the library and I got the Dummies book on cheese. And I read it. Those dummy books are very helpful because they don't go into a lot of detail, but you know, just like I said, like, boy, I read that and I thought, there's a lot to know about cheese. I'm glad. Okay. I didn't retain any of it, but it helped my mind, you know. But it does. It stimulates our mind. We gain knowledge from it. And I'm sure this happens to you too, but when I do things like that, and I like to read about the brain, it causes me to worship. I'm fascinated, even with cheese. Lord, you know, you've got a cow, you've got a goat, you've got a sheep. I don't know what else they use. I think that's about it. I'm sure they've used all kinds of strange animals to make cheese. But look at how many cheeses. You gave people the knowledge to do this. You know, I mean, it's just, you worship him. Especially if you're studying about the human body, about health, about fitness, about how your body reacts, about the brain, how your body thinks, or all the chemicals and all that kind of a thing. Even in gardening, you start worshiping the Lord. You're, wow, I didn't know this about this seed. I thought it just appeared in the nursery. I didn't know it, you know, cooking, baking, how drawing, painting, all those things. Pick a topic and just have fun with it. And see what you gain from that. And Lord, give me wisdom. What do you want to speak to me through this? I mean, that's just a fun extra thing to do. And the other thing I think that people don't do much anymore, I don't know why, is ask why. Why? When you're reading something, why? When you're talking, having a conversation, not why, like challenging, why, but why? I don't get it. You know, don't think you're being nosy. Or, you know, you either don't ask because we think we're nosy or we just simply don't care why. But, you know, I'm a why person. I want to understand because if I understand, then I'm going to see the wisdom behind the why. And I'm going to gain wisdom that way. Those are just practical things. Now, the Bible tells us to seek wisdom if we lack it. And everybody in this room, we all lack it. And so James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. Ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and will give to him, but let him ask in faith. All we need to do, we need to ask God. Don't make the decision on our own. Ask the Lord. I don't know what to do here. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to behave. How do I respond? All those kind of things. Just ask. Ask. He gives us the wisdom because he is the only wise one. Solomon, of course, is a great example of asking. He asked God for wisdom and God granted him that wisdom. In 1 Kings, you can turn there if you want. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. When Solomon was at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask, what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. He was a grown man, but in humility, he said, I'm a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart, to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, because you've asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall anyone like you arise after you. And I have given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall be no one, so there shall not be anyone like you among the kings of all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. So here Solomon acknowledged, I don't know how to be king. I don't know what I'm doing. He's only grew up in the palace. He only grew up watching his father rule and reign justly and in integrity of heart. The greatest king ever. And in his humility, I don't know what I'm doing, Lord. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to go out, and I don't know how to come in. I don't know how to take care of these people. I need you to tell me. I need understanding. I need discernment. I need your wisdom. And that prayer, that request, blessed God's heart because it showed a dependence on him. Not a cockiness, not a I know everything, I can do this on my own, but I don't know what I'm doing. And so God, as a loving father, gave Solomon the wisdom that he needed because he asked for it, and he gave him wisdom beyond that. You know, he was the wisest man. I mean, he, science in all those other big things that I can't think of right now, and animal, whatever that's called, all that. And he opened up Solomon's understanding and gave him the wisdom to make the hard decisions. And he can do that for us. Whether we have a college education or a high school education or a high IQ or a low IQ, he can do that for us. So we are to ask, don't assume you know. Don't assume you already know. Solomon did not. Ask and ask and ask until you receive from God. He promises that he will give us the wisdom we need if we are open to him. And we're out of the way. We're not wanting our own way. We want his way. We want his will. We want to know his heart and his mind. Ask for an understanding heart. Be a teachable person. The first time I heard the statement, you don't know what you don't know, I just thought, that is very profound. It is so true. You don't know what you don't know. Because you can't know because you don't know it. Okay, but our problem is we think we know. We think we already know. But what one thing that's really encouraging about that is that we shouldn't feel stupid when we don't know something if we've never gained the knowledge of it. You know, you have to gain the knowledge and then you know. But sometimes people feel really stupid because they do something or they say something or they mispronounce a word or something like that and they feel stupid. Well, why would you feel stupid if you don't know? You don't have the information in there. So you don't feel stupid. Now you do. Now we apply it. But we don't know what we don't know. The danger is when we think we know. We think we have the knowledge. Or we don't, you know, we don't really need to learn that. We don't need to listen. We don't need to know because we already know. We're wise. There's not one of us in this room who has not thought that more than once in their life. We all, if we're honest, we will say, yeah, I thought I knew, but I didn't know because I didn't know what I didn't know and I didn't know I didn't know it. But you can get a little cocky about it. How many of us have, as a mom, you've given your child some kind of instruction, let's say an older child, early teenage years child, on something, and they really didn't listen because, you know, they already know. Well, years ago, when my girls were 3 and 1, Damien's youngest sister, Grace, moved in with us, and she was 13. And she was in our home for 4 years. And one wonderful girl, good girl, good teenage girl, but she was a teenage girl. And I remember I either had strep throat or something going on where I couldn't swallow or something. And so I had to go out and I asked Grace, would you please make, I don't eat Jell-O anymore, but at that time I ate Jell-O. So would you please make this Jell-O? Okay. I said, have you ever made Jell-O before? No. I said, okay, listen to me. You have to follow the instruction. I know. Grace, you have to bring the water to a complete boil. Then you have to dissolve the Jell-O until it's completely dissolved before you add the cold water. I know. Am I stupid? I know. So, you know, hours later, whatever, however long it takes Jell-O to set up, what happened? I poured the Jell-O out because it would just sit there forever. It's not going to set up. Grace. You know, even at 21, I was like this. Grace. You did not follow the directions. I did too. No, you didn't. Or we would have Jell-O here. We do not have Jell-O. You know, anyway. You can't tell some people, you just can't tell them anything. And then when they are wrong, they can't admit that they're wrong. She has grown into a lovely woman. But at that time, how many men do you know, women too, but okay, we're going to use men, have started to assemble a swing set and did not read the directions because they already know. And guess what happened? They had a lot of lolly screws left over. The slide is wiggly because they don't know. Something's wrong with the remote or the TV or whatever, and they think they know. So they start pressing all the buttons because they know. How many times have you tried to cook something or bake something and didn't thoroughly read the recipe because you fucking know? I mean, crying out loud. I know how to cook. I know how to bake. Did it turn out? No, usually not. So we think we know, but we don't know. And when we think we know, we aren't teachable. Proverbs has a lot to say about being teachable. When we aren't teachable, we just turn a deaf ear on any type of instruction. We think we already know, so why do we need to listen to it? Right? We know better. Or we just don't care because our way is better. And sometimes we do that with the Bible. We may think we know what the Word says, but we don't really know. And maybe sometimes we don't want to know, because if we really knew, then we'd really be convicted, but we don't want to be convicted, so let's just not know it that thoroughly. So I can be okay. It's like, what does the Bible say about money management? Oh, well, I already know what it says about money management. And then the Lord looks into the finances and says, I don't think you know. Or maybe you know, but you're just simply not applying that to your life. Or what the Bible says about being a good steward of our bodies. I don't want to know. Or, oh, I already know. And yet, We're abusing our bodies. Sexual purity, gossip, time management, or discipline, or any other topic. We think we already know, but we really don't know. Or we are just simply choosing not to be teachable in it. We are accountable for the knowledge that we gain from God's Word. And sometimes we would rather be ignorant over it. Pride is probably the biggest roadblock to gaining God's knowledge and wisdom, or any knowledge. It's pride, and pride not in the way, you know, we think of pride. Oh yeah, they're real cocky or haughty or conceited or whatever. No, that's a pride that you see. This kind of pride is manifested in me, in you, in thinking that we know. We know all we need to know, and we can't be wrong. And I know Damien just spoke about that being, you know, the person that cannot be wrong. But we got to check our own lives here. A wise person will know that they are wrong, and a wise person receives instruction and is teachable. Shakespeare said, "The fool doth think he is wise, but the wise man knows himself to be a fool." I like that. It's the fool who thinks he's so wise, but the wise man knows he is a fool. When I read that, it reminded me of Romans chapter 1, where Paul is writing really about the depravity of man and his choice to just disregard God's wisdom and go with his own. and do whatever he wants with his own body, and you know, to set aside the boundaries, the biblical godly boundaries that are safe, and just go outside of those boundaries in sex and any kind of relationship. And Paul said they're professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. And that's what I am, what we are, when we think we know. We really are just saying, I'm a fool. I think I'm so wise, but I'm a fool. Proverbs 10:17 says, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, wise. But he who refuses correction goes astray, which is foolish. I think Proverbs 12:1 says it the very, very best. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. And isn't that the truth? When you love instruction and correction and knowledge, I mean, that's wisdom. That's a wise person. That's a humble person and a wise person. It's the foolish person who refuses the correction, who refuses. They're just not teachable. Which one do we want to be? Spurgeon said, a sense of our own folly is a great step toward being wise when it leads us to rely on the wisdom of the Lord. A sense of our own folly is a good step toward being wise. I sat on that one for quite a while. Like, it's so true. I've mentioned this song for years because it's made a big impact on me, obviously. But this is the song we used to sing years and years and years ago when I knew everything. You couldn't tell me anything new. And I couldn't be corrected because I'm not wrong. And this is as a brand new Christian. But this song came out, and I understood it, but the older I get, the more I understand it. And the words are simple. The first line, the more that I know, the more I know that I don't know. It's just such a simple little thing. It was a great little song, and it's so true. Because the more that I gain knowledge and then wisdom, the more I realize that I don't know anything. And when I thought I knew it all, I look back, and that is just disgustingly embarrassing to realize what a fool in thinking you know anything. You don't know anything. And I don't know anything again. I know a little bit more. I'm trying to grow in that. But the more that I know, I don't know. You know, when you're young, it's kind of hard to know, to be in a conversation and then somebody says something or asks you some, like, spiritual question or whatever, and you don't know the answer, but you can't tell them you don't know the answer because then you're not spiritual. You know, it's so freeing to say, I have no idea. Let's go talk to a pastor. They know everything. You remember Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph was around 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. Very young man. At that age of a 17-year-old who, they know a lot, right? They think they know a lot. But Joseph was different. Tells us that God was with him, and he was definitely with Joseph. Do you think that God would be with someone and honor them and bless them if they were a know-it-all? If they were cocky? If they had pride oozing out of them? It speaks to us that Joseph was humble. He didn't think he knew it all. He laid back and watched, which is wise. Joseph learned And he, from the Egyptians, from every single position he was in, the hard trials that he was in, being accused of rape when he didn't at all, being thrown in the prison and being forgotten in there, then being raised up to being second to Pharaoh in over the land. He learned, he watched, he used wisdom and how he handled himself. How does a 17-year-old boy, 25-year-old young man, how do they get raised to that position? Yes, God was with him, but he was humble and he learned and he grew in wisdom, so much so that he not only knew how to handle himself, but he knew how to handle the entire nation of Egypt by age 30. That's a teachable young man. That's a wise young man. Daniel and his three friends, four young men, they were in Jerusalem when Babylon was coming against it. And then King Nebuchadnezzar gave the command to his people and said, find those young men in whom there is no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom. So find the wise guys, not the wise Alex, but the real wise guys, possessing knowledge, and they're quick to understand. They have the ability to serve in the king's palace, whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And Daniel and his three friends were chosen. Now, they didn't refuse to learn the ways of the Chaldeans. They weren't know-it-alls. Well, we do it better. This is how you do it. They didn't do that. They didn't say, we already know. They behaved wisely. I mean, you just read that and think about that. You think about three guys that you know at that age. What would they do? You know, those guys weren't, young guys are going to, they're tough. They want to fight back. These guys use wisdom. Let's just learn here. God's got something going on here. Let's just learn from this and learn how to be used by him. And God, of course, used them tremendously. Every single one of the apostles, minus Judas, I don't count him, but every single one of the apostles were teachable. Most of them uneducated. But they were teachable. What they saw, what they learned, and then the wisdom they gained from just watching Jesus, listening to Jesus. Timothy, Titus, Silas, and so many others, they were teachable. They looked to the apostles. I want to learn from you. I don't know how to be a pastor. I don't know all this stuff. I want to learn. They were teachable. Apollos is a great example in the book of Acts of being teachable. Damien taught a whole message on this before. But Apollos wasn't a young man. We don't know how old he was, but he had to be older because he was an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. It takes years of learning. And this man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he only knew the baptism of John. So when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, and they heard this guy is eloquent. He's powerful in his teaching, but he's lacking something. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. They corrected him. They informed him. They filled him in, and he received from that. He didn't say, "I am Apollos. I'm older than you. I'm the guest speaker here. I know everything." But he sat and listened to these just two people, husband and a wife, and he received from them. He was teachable. No excuses made. He was just a teachable, humble person, and he applied that, and then God blessed his ministry. Proverbs 9, 8, and 9, rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So if a wise man, if you rebuke a wise man, and he loves you, what does that mean when you rebuke someone and they lash out at you, and they get mad at you, and they defend themselves, and they make excuses. That means they're not wise. But is that us? Is that when somebody rebukes us, when somebody corrects us, I don't want to use myself all the time as an example, but this was a big thing in my life. I remember one time I was really rebuked. And, you know, people don't necessarily do that to the pastor's wife. And we were very small down on 10th and F, and we were doing construction and everything. And it was just really a really hard time. It was very frustrating to see just a few people doing all the work and spending a lot of time and hours, and then the other people, they just didn't help. And they would come and enjoy the remodel, but they wouldn't come and help. And that was frustrating to me. And unfortunately, it was slipping out my lips. And so one of the elders at the time, he said, "Hey, come here, I want to talk to you." I said, "Okay." And him and I had always kind of done this, you know, rubbed each other the wrong way because we were very much alike. And so he rebuked me. He said, "You know, you really have a bad attitude. And you need to be careful." And I said, "You're right. You're right. I do. That was huge. That I got a little proud over being so humble and receiving that rebuke. But I thought, I walked away and I said, "Lord, thank you." That, number one, that he would tell me that. He would do it. Because nobody else is going to do it, and he would do it. So thank you for that, and thank you that I know that, and I received that, because it's from you, you know. But that was a big stepping stone in my life. We already read Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. We need to listen to others, to pay attention, to receive from, and then to apply it to our lives. Proverbs 23:12, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to words of knowledge. Apply it to your lives. When you hear that instruction, whether you're reading it from the Word or you're talking with someone, apply it. Listen. Apply it to your life. Read the Bible to gain your wisdom and your knowledge. It's God's living word. It explains everything, as we're seeing on Sunday mornings going through little bits and pieces of Genesis, how much it explains. I mean, God, he created the world. So he's going to explain everything. We gain so much wisdom from reading his word and showing us how we are to live. Read the book of Proverbs. Read it over and over and over and over again. Read it in different translations. I love the NLT in that, in Proverbs, and the Amplified are just really great translations, I think. Or Amplified isn't a translation, it's an expansion, but you know what I mean. Because it covers over 100 topics of life: money management, hard work and employment, marriage, raising children, purity, how to talk, how to think, how to be a good neighbor, on and on and on. My challenge for you and myself for this year of Bible study is to read a chapter of Proverbs every day. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and for most months, there's 31 days of a month. And some of you have probably done this throughout your Christian walk, but this might be new to some of us. If we read a chapter of Proverbs a day, this is September 4th. You have to read 4 chapters tonight to get it in, okay? And if we do that, and then in October we start over again, and we do this, the 8 months that we will be meeting, you will have read Proverbs 8 times. Now, some of you may have read Proverbs 80 times already, or 800 times. But some of you may have only read Proverbs 5 times, or 1 time, or maybe never. So here is your opportunity, all of us, to do this together. to read a chapter every day in Proverbs. Slowly. Think about it. You know, write down, whether you can write it down or stick it in your heart or talk in your phone so you have it there. What the Lord spoke to you, what kind of wisdom will you gain from this? What kind of knowledge will you gain from it? It'll actually be amazing for all of us. James tells us the difference between worldly wisdom or man's wisdom or the devil's wisdom and God's wisdom. He says in chapter 3, this is in the NLT, "If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up with the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's also peace-loving. It's gentle at all times and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." When you go to make a decision, when you're in a situation and you need God's wisdom and you're asking Him for God's wisdom, reread James chapter 3, verses 13 and 18, and ask yourself, where's the wisdom? Is this person that I'm listening to or hearing or whatever, where's the wisdom? Is there peace in this? Or is there a little bit of selfishness here? Or what about in my own heart? Am I thinking this is a wise thing to do because it's going to be good for me or whatever? It's a good gauge, a good thing to have tucked away in our heart and as a gauge to make those decisions. To gain that wisdom, look for mentors so that you can learn from. And it doesn't matter how old you are. We all need mentors. We need someone or several people in our lives to learn from. So those of us who are older, my age or older, connect with somebody younger. And you think, well, what am I going to learn from a young girl? Well, you know, you probably would learn a lot about technology. Instead of fumbling through our phones and things, they can help you really quickly. You can learn something. And then you can develop a relationship. Ask a younger person, what are you guys thinking? It was so different when I was young. You know, give them an example from when you were young. Now, how does that look today in your life and in your age group? You know, you can learn a lot from younger women. Look for those who are older than you and have far more life experience than you do. Preferably looking for those who are wise women too. Ask questions and learn. You know, don't assume you know. We don't know what we don't know. So ask questions and learn, and then look for those who are further along in their walks than you are. They could be younger, they could be older, they could be the same age, but those who are more spiritually mature than you are, and ask questions of them and learn from them. There are so many women who are more than willing to help other women. And, you know, we don't have a program or anything like that, and I don't want one. I just want the Lord to put people together, and He will do that. Just ask. You know, I mean, it can be a practical thing. I don't know how to do this. Do you know how to do this? Yes, here, let me show you. Or, I'm really struggling in this particular area of my walk. have you ever struggled? Can you help me with that? People would love to do that. We need to reach out. We need to be teachable. To be teachable all the days of our life. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. 11:14. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That is so true and so helpful. There are so many times we don't know what we're supposed to do, and we go to a spiritual friend or a mentor, and we say, I got to bounce this off of you because I want to make sure I'm heading in the right direction and I'm not off. And not just thinking, you just know. I mean, we do that. Damien and I do that all the time. We bounce it off each other. He has men that he'll bounce it off with. I have women. I'll just say, what do you think about this? How would you handle that situation? It's just so healthy. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. 3:13, happy is the one who finds wisdom and gains understanding. You'll be a happier person. The wiser you get, the happier you will be. 4:5-9, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, speaking of wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. 19:8. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. So as we read Proverbs this year, remember a chapter a day, every month, and as we come to Bible study, and as we share in our groups, let's listen more. Listen like we've never listened. Like listen like you're brand new again, and you want to hear and you want to know. Pay attention more. You know, we can get in this, oh, I've heard that before. Oh, yeah, that's that verse. Or yeah. You know, pay attention and ask the Lord for wisdom and receive more from other people. Seek out counsel more for other people. Apply God's truth and wisdom to your life, and you will be a happier person. I want to close by reading entire chapter 8. It's such a great chapter in the New Living Translation. It's going to be on the screen, so you can follow along. Okay. Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop along the road, she takes her stand at the crossroads. By the gates at the entrance to the town, on the road leading in, she cries aloud, I call to you, to all of you. I raise my voice to all people. You simple people, use good judgment. You foolish people, show some understanding. Listen to me, for I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right, for I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. My advice is wholesome. There is nothing devious or crooked in it. My words are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. Choose my instruction rather than silver and knowledge rather than pure gold, for wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. Common sense and success belong to me. Insight and strength are mine. Because of me, kings reign and rulers make just decrees. Rulers lead with my help, and nobles make righteous judgments. I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. I have riches and honor as well as enduring wealth and justice. My gifts are better than gold, even the purest gold. My wage is better than sterling silver. I walk in righteousness, in paths of justice. Those who love me inherit wealth. I will fill their treasuries. The Lord formed me from the beginning before he created anything else. I was appointed in ages past, at the very first, before the earth began. I was born before the oceans were created, before the springs bubbled forth their waters, before the mountains were formed, before the hills I was born, before he made the earth and the fields and the first handfuls of soil. I was there when he established the heavens, when he drew the horizons on the oceans. I was there when he set the clouds above, when he established springs deep in the earth. I was there when he set the limits of the seas so that they would not spread beyond their boundaries, and when he marked off the earth's foundations. I was the architect at his side. I was his constant delight, rejoicing always in his presence. And how happy I was with the world he created, how I rejoiced with the human family. And so, my children, listen to me, for all who follow my ways are joyful. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Joyful are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But all those who miss me injure themselves, and all who hate me love death. Father, thank you for your word and your wisdom. You and you alone are wise. And Lord, you have told us that if we lack wisdom, that we need to ask. And this book of Proverbs is full of your wisdom. And so, Father, we are asking you, as we read this book privately and then together, that you would grant us understanding, that you would open up our minds, our hearts, our eyes and our ears to these truths, and you would help us, Lord, to apply these things to our own lives. And Father, I want to soak all of this in, and I know my sisters do too. And just reading that, Lord, it's like a shower. It's like we're just absorbing your truth and how right you are. And how, Lord, heaven is going to be wonderful because everybody's going to do it your way. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would stir our hearts. This would just be the beginning of a wonderful year. And that when we come back for the next teaching, we would be like sponges to soak it all in. And when we go into our groups next week, Lord, we would just be like bubbling forth all these wonderful things that you have shared with us and how you've changed us. And so, Lord, will you please bless our year? Bless the knitting of our hearts together, relationships being built, and just growing together in you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your mercy and for your grace in our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.